Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. State school superintendent Mark Johnson grabbed some headlines recently by recommending something that long-suffering parents and students have been demanding for years, namely an end to widespread high-stakes testing in our public schools, especially for very young children. Though Johnson's announcement was a small and welcome first step, there are a lot of specific changes that will need to be made in this area in order to make real progress. Recently, NC Policy Watch producer Clayton Henkel sat down with Suzanne Miller of the group North Carolina Families for Testing Reform to review her group's recommendations.
Suzanne Miller, welcome to News and Views.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your organization, North Carolina Families for School Testing Reform, and why it was formed.
We are a parent-led, nonpartisan, grassroots advocacy organization that began last June. We're working to reduce the amount of testing in our schools and change the negative and punitive testing culture that our schools are dealing with on a daily basis.
There may be some listeners who think, well, the way you demonstrate mastery of a subject is through testing. What do you say to people who feel that testing is the best way to prove that you really have learned a subject fully?
First of all, we're not anti-testing. There is a time and a place for assessment in schools when it's done well. We want it to be done well. Quality assessments at critical developmental stages help put the right tools in place for each child. We are more concerned with the sheer volume of testing than the toxic culture that it creates. Currently, elementary students testing when combined throughout the full 6 years that they're in elementary school means that they are losing over a full year's worth of time or more because of the testing that takes place during K through five. That's over 180 school days that they're spending involved in testing. We think that that is just absolutely ridiculous. Testing can show the mastery of a subject, but we should consider the fact that the types of testing being done is only measuring certain types of skills. Skills that may speak to the overall growth and development of an individual child and his or her future success are not always the ones being tested. The results from our current testing program do not always inform about the progress and needs of each child. Testing also has consequences on the curriculum. The variety of subjects and the ability to teach critical thinking skills. In elementary school, for example, the focus on testing is primarily limited to math and reading. As a result, the curriculum narrows to cover what's on the test, leaving behind valuable instruction on other subject matters such as social studies, science, art.
So it really does value some subjects over another.
It does, and it also cuts into the very critical play and social emotional learning that we also know is very valuable, especially in these younger grades.
I was going to ask you that. If you haven't been in school for a few years or you don't have children, talk to us about the level of stress that this imposes on the school year, especially, I think everybody's probably heard of the end of grade exams. What do you hear from your own children when it comes to testing?
You know, the stress and the anxiety that the testing produces for students and teachers is just immense. I know my mom taught years ago, and things have changed so drastically from when she was in the classroom to what I'm seeing now in my children's class. My own son is in first grade this year, and last spring, I was completely shocked at the whole school and how it was disrupted by the testing. My kindergartner couldn't go out to recess or move around the building freely. It felt like they were on lockdown for just weeks. I saw firsthand that my son's kindergarten class was partnering with a fifth grade class to write them notes of encouragement, draw banners for them, decorate their water bottles, and they had a mini pep rally to get these fifth graders pumped up to test. And it increased my son's anxiety in kindergarten, knowing that these tests are such a big deal.
You want to see your friends do well on the test,
exactly.
And you want your teacher to be reflected well by your own performance.
Exactly.
Do you think it takes away in some ways the joy of learning?
Absolutely. We absolutely are seeing that. And, you know, when teachers and students are complaining about the anxiety and lack of ability to sleep, we have students who are developing stomach issues, ulcers, needing medication, things that are just not okay for the young children especially. We have stories of second graders who don't want to go back to school for third grade because they're just so scared of all the testing. You know, it used to be that you didn't have to really worry about your grades and your testing until you were in high school and looking at college admissions. But nowadays, that buckle down is happening to our 7 and 8 year olds. We've heard from parents who say that, you know, the third grades, the EOGs, they'll get a grade back at the end saying, your child is not college and career ready. Well, we've had kids who are being shamed by this, who get the grades and see it themselves. We have parents who are found that they're crying in the office, in the counselor's office at school, saying, it says my child's not college and career ready. Well, how many 7 and 8 year olds do you know who are college and career ready? They're not supposed to be yet. The shame, there's just such a level of shame and disgrace that our children are being subjected to younger and younger.
In addition to fewer tests, your group, I believe, is advocating for fairer tests and what you call fruitful tests. Tell us what would make testing fairer and more fruitful.
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. We are advocating for more equitable testing. You know, the tests are often biased towards middle class white children. For example, reading comprehension is largely based on experience, and the experiences of white middle class students are overrepresented in the testing. In addition, the test administrators and proctors are not allowed to read any words on a math exam, and much of the math exams are now word problems. So for students who may still be learning those development skills, they're being penalized because they can't read the problems instead of just not knowing what the math actually is. We want more equitable tests that are just not biased towards one group of students, and that they all of our students have a fair chance at passing them given their background and their socioeconomics. We also want more developmentally appropriate tests. We feel like that would be much more fair to our students. I hear stories about how children as young as 8 are being required to sit and be quiet for 3 to 4 hours at a time with the testing. This is just not appropriate for their age groups. We also had one story we received in from a teacher in one county that was a special education teacher. And she had a 7th grade student who did not know his alphabet. He was in a special needs classroom, and he was being forced to sit through the 7th grade test, knowing before he ever sat down that he would not be passing the test. The child is being shamed by this. This is not okay. And we really feel like something has to be done. It's not fair. With fruitful tests, we're hoping that the data that's provided from the assessments would be about growth and progress that the students are making. We want things known as formative tests instead of the summative tests like are happening with the EOGs, where they measure only once a year. The current EOGs are summative, and the teachers don't get the results back often until the summer. So if they're not receiving the data at that point during the school year, there's no way that they can actually use it to help the students. So we would like something that could be done a little bit quicker and with data that's more helpful for what the teachers are actually needing.
The state school superintendent, Mark Johnson, announced several changes that the State Department of Public Instruction will be making in testing this school year. Changes include things like fewer state exams and allowing students to leave the exam sooner, as you were mentioning. They don't have to sit there as long as that, perhaps, and easing some of the rules requiring exam proctors. What are your initial thoughts on the recommendations that have been offered so far?
They're still a bit vague, so it's hard for me to comment at this point. Some initial thoughts that we have, though, is that we appreciate the intent to lower the stress around testing, but we can't effectively do that if we're not eliminating the entire testing culture and the stress that's associated with the entire system. Also, fewer questions could mean that each question carries more weight. And so then that's actually ramping up the difficulty of the test, or the stress of the test, because of that change. We're fearful could render the test statistically invalid, that if they're not asking enough questions, then the test is not going to actually be representative of the material. So there's a fine line there, and we don't have enough information to be able to assess what he's put forth. We're actually also not clear if the changes will take effect this year for the current test getting ready to come up, or if it's going to be next year.
I was going to say, it's a big shift to announce that, but then turn it around and implement it and roll it out.
Exactly.
In the middle of a school year seems very difficult.
Exactly. And asking teachers to pivot and change things in the middle of the school year can be a very difficult thing. How well is it going to be rolled out is a question. The other thing is that we have asked specifically and been in touch with his office to try to sit in on and participate in the process of creating the report that was to be presented in January earlier in this month. And also we have inquired with them about information about this report. We've not yet actually seen the full report. And so we are still waiting to hear back from his office for both of those processes.
So it's really critical, though, that he listen not just to educators, but also to parents who have skin in the game.
Well, we would like to be included in the process, and we're here as a resource, and we would like to have at least an ability to see what's happening so that we can better support our educators. With a part of this as well, we are encouraging all of our legislators to spend a day proctoring the test this spring. Whether they're actually cutting proctoring this spring or not, we're not sure about. But we really think that they need that firsthand understanding.
And tell us what proctoring is. Is that literally just standing there and watching and observing the students taking the test?
You're actually proctoring the teachers.
Okay.
They're standing and or sitting in the room, making sure that the teachers are following the rules. It's not actually proctoring the students as I had first thought. And so we're making sure that, you know, things are being followed by the book. The teachers are following everything to the letter of the testing manuals. We know that Superintendent Johnson has said how that affected him last spring when he participated. And so we really feel like that's something that all of our leadership needs to be participating in to see it firsthand.
Interesting. Well, how does North Carolina compare to other states when it comes to testing? Is there one state that's doing it particularly well that we should be looking at?
Yeah, there's a few states who are trying some different models. One thing, though, that's interesting with North Carolina is North Carolina is the only state that when we're figuring our school grades that are required right now, we use 80% proficiency and 20% growth in the formula to create the school grades. We're the only state in the nation that uses those percentages. We would really like to see where those numbers either flip or the process has changed completely. Because we know currently that what those grades are actually showing are the socioeconomics of the school.
And right now what you're talking about is that A through F report
Correct.
Card that the school receives.
Correct. And those are just showing the high poverty schools, and we know that. So that's not reflective of what's actually happening in those schools. We have some really great things happening in C, D, and F schools that are just not getting recognized. And that's something that as a group we're really concerned about. Another thing is that North Carolina does not have a way for families to refuse testing. There's really, the structure is very difficult to navigate and to opt out. And so the students are receiving ones on the test, which on a 1 to 5 grade, one is the lowest they can get, which hurts the school. It hurts the principals, and their pay is tied into that. So then it makes principals not as willing to let families opt out.
And why would you opt out of a test? I forgive my ignorance, but
no,
would it be that it's a student who doesn't have a strong command of English? Would it be a special needs student? Who would opt out?
There's lots of different reasons why families might want to opt out. For those, some of us in the leadership, we're wanting to opt out because of the justice issue. We really feel like this is such an unjust system. I know a few of our leaders are opting out simply because of that. We don't want to perpetuate an unjust system, and that's a way we see to change it. We're not an anti-testing opt-out group specifically. There are those out there, and we're not that. But at the same time, we don't want to be perpetuating a system that continues to be unjust to all of our students.
Well, moving forward, because our time's limited, mm-hmm. How would you like to see the Department of Public Instruction and the General Assembly, because they control the purse strings, modify the testing structure for our students in our schools?
Yeah, we would like to see them use research-based methods of assessment that measure growth and inform the teaching practices. We want assessments that are child-centered and whole child focused, meaning they look at the academic and the social emotional learning for a more complete picture of our children. We want to empower our teachers to teach and to provide all of the students in North Carolina the best education that we can. I don't necessarily want to tell them exactly how to do their job. That's not my job as a parent. But we do know that research is available, and we would like them to be using that. That's formative, creates assessments and processes that are formative, equitable, and developmentally appropriate for all of North Carolina's students. They are our resource, our biggest resource, and we want to do the best that we can for our students.
Well, North Carolina Families for School Testing Reform has a big event that's coming up in March, I believe, with Diane Ravitch. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are hosting a community conversation around the testing culture on March 16th. It's in Raleigh, and all the details are on our website at nctestingreform.org. The event is being co-sponsored by Dr. Jen Mangrum from UNCG. She's an education professor. Save Our Schools NC, which is another parent advocacy group, and two North Carolina Teaching Voice Fellows, Micah Hunter-Twitmeyer and Mary Alicia Lyons, and then ourselves, North Carolina Families for School Testing Reform. We're going to be having Diane Ravitch join us by Skype for a presentation and a question and answer session, and then be working in both large group and small groups around the various issues that are related into testing culture. I think people will be surprised at all of the issues that testing affects. Everything from campaign contributions and the school to prison pipeline and equity issues within our state. And so we're going to be trying to touch on lots of different issues to see the web that it all weaves together.
Absolutely fascinating. Folks can learn more about the event coming up in March and about the issue at nctestingreform.org. And we've been talking with Suzanne Miller with the organization North Carolina Families for School Testing Reform. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.